No, I don't know. Just, I don't know. I have to figure that out afterwards. Hey, you can go months without talking to each other. She's like, that can't be. So he says, what's Tamid? So the Torah understood that there are certain things that need different degrees of Tamid. The Ola, to be that connected to God, where it's Kalil Hashem, you can't live like that all the time. So what's that? That's, you just have to do it once in the morning and once in the evening. And you're fine. The menorah, okay, it's a little bit more intense, but not quite that much. Shulchan, though, what does Shulchan represent? It represents parnasa, it represents sustenance in the world. Because it's probably not such a bad idea for a person to have that feeling of, like, you know, really actually does, like, have what to do with God all the time. But he says it's certainly what something that we have to be careful about. If we aspire to have this degree of closeness and this degree of warmth and connection to God, that's every second, that's super powerful like that, it's not going to work. Either a person will be completely destroyed by the way their relationship with God is, or they're just not going to have a relationship with God. So he says, what's supposed to happen? What the Torah is telling us is that it is okay to have chuppah-like moments in our relationship with God. But we can't expect to have a relationship like that with God constantly. And if we do, we're going to be really, really, really disappointed. And that, I think, helps us understand, you know, what's going on in all of our stories. What does Tamid mean? So Tamid is different for different things. How do these parashot connect to the Mekalel, and what are they fighting about? So this is where Rav Bagno suggests that maybe what the fight between the Mekalel and everybody else was is Rashi's other pshat. Rashi's other pshat is that what does it mean Vayetze? He left the parsha of the psukim right before. He read the psukim and said, really? You're going to serve challah that's a week old? It's going to be cold. It's going to be disgusting. He said, that's not the relationship a person should have with God. The relationship a person should have with God is what? It's a relationship that is what? It has to be hot all the time. That's his suggestion. And so when he hears this notion that no, it's not true. You can have a relationship that has moments of it being very warm, moments of it being hot out of the oven, and you might have some moments where it's cold. But that's okay, because it's not realistic to have a relationship with God that is so hot and powerful all the time. And that's what the Mekalel is saying. The Mekalel doesn't agree with that. And so I think that the message and what the Torah is trying to tell us is that if we, and the Gemara of Shem Bar Yochai is perfect to demonstrate that point, is that if we really do believe that it is, thank you, if we really do believe that the relationship with God is going to be like that, it just won't work. Certainly see that from the way life and marriage works. It can't be that way. We have to aspire to have a very warm relationship with God. And we have to understand, though, it's not going to be like that all the time. So I want to share with you a story, and with this I'll end. Last Friday night, after the meal was over, my in-laws were there, so we were actually able to easily go for... Yes, I left Israel with my in-laws there. But now I'm spending Shabbos this week with my in-laws back here. After the meal was over, Malki and I went for a walk, and we took two of the kids with us. And so we had Ariel and Zivi. So like they're quite a contrast in like conversation. Zivi wanted to talk about how she can jump on these massive rocks up by like the shopping center and how successfully she can get from each and every one in sandals and not breaking an ankle. Like, great, it's amazing. And so Ariel and I were talking on the way back. And she said to me, like, you know, what, I don't know, we're talking about, like, goals for, like, the children. And I said, you know, I really want, like, if I had one thing, I want children that are passionate about their Judaism. So I want, like, that they have like a, like, you don't just do it because you do it, but you do it because like it really matters and it's something whatever. And she's like, asked me, she's like, what does that really mean? And like, I don't know, she put me on the spot there. And I was like, I don't know what that really means. But like, it means that like, you should really care about what you're doing, not go through it by rote. And she gave pushback on different things and whatever. And fine, like the conversation was concluded because we bumped into Miriam and David Schwartz. And then like, that was it. 20 minutes later, we were like walking back to the house. But I thought about it afterwards, because the very next day, that's what the rabbi's drasha was. And what the rabbi was saying, which I think is so critical, is that actually it's okay if your Judaism is really just Kriyat Shema Shel Shacharis and Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis. Now, that doesn't mean that's ideal, but even if you're saying it, even if it's just by rote, but that means that you're connected. And I think that's a component of Tamid. Tamid is consistent and constant. So it's like, it's measurable that way. But on the other hand, it's also measurable by quantity too. So a person, sometimes at some points in life, will have to settle for, this is all I can do. And if that's all you can do, that's fine. And at other moments, obviously, you have many, many, many more opportunities. And so I think, it, to me at least, it was a very powerful lesson of like reminding ourselves that like if we have aspirations to be so excited about everything every time, and that's the only way that we can see our Judaism being successful, then we're probably not going to see much by way of success. The moments that we're passionate and excited are amazing, and we have to capture them as often as possible. But sometimes the other component of Tamid, just doing it over and over and over again, is something that is, you know, equally important. So, Emir Tzashem, the bracha I got from the farmer that I share with each and every one of you, is that we should, like, hopefully get nachas from our families and from everybody, but at the same time, we should understand that our view of what nachas means and our view of what, you know, being, like, passionate about Judaism is, isn't necessarily consistent with, you know, the Gemara's view of what that is as well. So, Shkaya.